Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Megillah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Taub, Lizchus Refuah Shleima, Moshe Nachman ben Malka Miriam.
Megillah Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says that the reason why Mordechai HaTzadik was called Ish Yehudi is because Al Shum Shekafar Bavirizara, Shekola Kaifer Bavirizara, Nikra Yehudi. And the Gemara brings a pasuk in Daniel that shows this to be true. The Marsha says, why is it that anybody who's Kaifer in Avirizara is called Yehudi? So he explains, Al Pi the Gemara in Saita Daf Yuram Beis, over there it's Mavur, that Yosef and Yehuda were both Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Yosef was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Seser, and therefore one Ois was added onto his name from Hashem's name. That's why there's a Pasuk Edos B'Yosef Samoy. And Yehuda, who was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim B'Farhesya B'Goloi, he's Nikra Kulai Al-Shmosh L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means that the entire Shem Havaya is included in his name. So that means that anybody who's Kofer about Avodah Zarah is Nikra Yehuda, because the word Yehuda has the entire Shem Havaya contained within it. In the Sefer Rosh Yosef, he explains this further. He explains that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many names. There are many words that we use as Kinuyim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we do find that there are certain names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are used to refer to Malachim and sometimes to Tzadikim, like the name Elikim, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. You find that Avram Avinu addressed the Malachim with that word. Tzadikim Yaakov Avinu is called Kael. But that's all with regards to names other than the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya is called the Shem HaEtzem, Ani Havaya. That Shem is not shared with anybody else. The reason for this is because the other names refer to certain aspects, certain qualities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elikim is the Bala Koiches Kulam. You could have a Dayan who also is referred to with that name because he has a certain Koyach. The Shem Havai, on the other hand, is not all shame what he does or how he interacts with the Bria. It's about who he is, Al Yehoi V'Yiya. In fact, the Nefesh HaChaim says in the Pasuk V'Zeveach, Le'elihim Yocharam, Bilti La'Hashem Levadoi, which the Pasha Pshat is that it's Aser to Shecht Karbonis to Avodah Zarah. But the Nefesh HaChaim says, Zeveach Le'elihim Yocharam means that you should not bring Karbonis, or for that matter, be Mispalel to anything other than the Shema Etzim, than the Shema Vaya. Do not bring Karbonis to the Shema Le'elihim. Because Elikim refers to those koiches that Hashem uses when interacting with the Bria. It refers to his capacity as a judge, or even as a creator, Bereshis Bara Elikim. And as we know, there are Shivim Umois, Shivim Sarim El Yoinim, and you're not supposed to be Mispalel to any one of the Sarim El Yoinim, not to a koichev, not to a mazel. You're supposed to be Mispalel to Hashem himself. So somebody who's koifer and Avodah Zarah, in the Avoida of Koichavim and Mazolis, and he comes to the Akara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mahave everything, and there really is nothing else besides him, Ein Oid Movadai, and it's Roi that he should be called Al Shem, the Shem Havaya. So that's why the name Yehudi is given to somebody who's Koifer in Avodah Zarah. Now this actually works very well with the theme that we discuss on Daf Yud Beis. We discussed there that during Yemei HaPurim, Klal Yisrael was Zoyche to reestablish their Tfisa in the Eitz HaChaim. And we explained the difference between the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas Toi V'ra. Eitz HaChaim is the Eitz HaTorah. It's the Eitz that connects us to the higher Hanhaga, the Hanhaga that is run only based on Hashem himself. Masha'en Kein, the Eitz HaDas Toi V'ra, has to do with Teva. Now Elikim is Begematria HaTeva. Elikim always denotes a certain Tzimtzum. One who is fully aware that everything is Hashem, no matter what happens, it's really directly coming from Hashem, is connected to the Eitz HaChaim. So if you're aware that whether it's Arur Haman or Baruch Mordechai, it all comes from the higher Hanhaga, that is, to put it in the Ramchal's term, as we explained, the Olam HaYichud. There is the Olam HaMishpat. In the Olam HaMishpat, things are less clear. And the shame that governs the Olam HaMishpat is Elikim. That's Midas Hadin. La'asid Lavai, everything is going to be clear. We're going to understand how everything is really Chastor Yisparach. Everything comes directly from Hashem and is good. The Gemara says in Psachim and Daf Nun, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yayim ahu yiyah Hashem echad u'shmoy echad. And it's referring to La'asid Lavoi, when Hashem is going to be Melech HaKol Ha'aretz, then he is going to be Echad Ushmo Echad. Asks the Gemara, Atuha Idna Lav Echad Hu? Nowadays, he's not Echad? Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Loi Ka'olam Hazeh O Ha'olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is not like Olam Haba, because Ha'olam Hazeh, Al Besuris Toivois, Oimer Baruch HaToy VaMeitiv. On things that are good, good news, we say Baruch HaToy VaMeitiv. Val Besuris Rois, Oimer Baruch Dayan HaEmes. However, Lo'olam Haba, Kuloi HaToy VaMeitiv. On anything that happens, we're going to recognize the good in it. So we'll say HaToy VaMeitiv. Continues the Gemara, Ushmoy Echad. We said, Vay Hashem Echad, Ushmoy Echad. What does it mean, Shmoy Echad? My Echad, Otowe Idna Lav Shmoy Echad Hu? Amrav Nachem Bar Yitzchak, Loi Ka'olam Hazeh, Ha'olam Haba. Ha'olam Hazeh, Nichtav Be Yud He, Vinikra Be Aleph Dalad. The Shema Vay is written Yud Ke Vav Ke, but it's read Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Avalo Olam Haba, Kuloi Echad. Nikra Be Yud He, Vinichtav Be Yud He. So nowadays, since we live with Hester Panim, we cannot recognize that everything is good. And by the same token, you see in the Gemara that parallel to that is the fact that we do not say the Shem Havaya with its Osius. We experience it as Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which means Adoin HaKoil. We know that he's in charge of the world, even though we don't feel his Anhaga on a constant basis. Which is why we say Dayan HaEmes instead of HaToiv HaMeitiv. Somebody like Mordechai, who's koifer ba'avodah zara, is nikra kuloi al shem havaya. Because avodah zara are those koiches in the world that are shayach to the olam hateva. The original avodah zara, says the Rambam, understood that there are certain koiches that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the bria. And that is the lois tishtachave le'el acher that we were discussing on Daf Yud Beis. We explained that the difference between before the Chet of Adam HaRishon and after the Chet of Adam HaRishon is that after the Chet of Adam HaRishon there's a confusion and we never know when things are Hashem Echad and when they are El Acher. Because the whole world became a place of confusion. And that is the whole inyan of Vikoitz Vidardar Tatzmiach Loch. The difference between the Dalet and the Reish. The person will always be placed in the matzav of confusion. And as we explained there, that is the function of Amalek, who's Bigmatria Sufik. Amalek is the Zvuv that sits on the Tagi, the Dalet, turning it into a Reish. What's very interesting is that the Gemara over there in Pesachim, after explaining the difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, there's one more passage in the Gemara, where Rabbi Avina explains the pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe by Golus Mitzrayim, it says, "Ze shmi lo oilam, v'ze zichri l'dor dor." Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loikish ani nichtav ani nikra, nichtav ani b'yud hei, I'm written with the Shem Havaya, v'nikra ani b'alef dalet. That's why, ze shmi lo'olam, v'ze zichri l'dor dor. My name is one thing, but the way that I'm mentioned, the way that I'm pronounced, is different. It's with alef dalet. The word over there that's used to explain this difference is ze shmi lo'olam. Lo'olam means that on the level of eternity, the way that things will really always be is that Hashem is Nichta B'Yud Hei, his real name is the Shem Havaya, but Ze Zichri L'Dor Dor, the word Dor Dor is the same Dor Dor that we discussed about Amalek. By Amalek it says, Muhammad Hashem Amalek Mi Dor Dor, it's written Dalet Reish, because the difference between the Shem Havaya and the Shem Adnus is a function of the Koitz V'Dar Dar Tatzmiach Loch, of the Klala of Adam HaRishon. Since after the Klala of Adam HaRishon, what was introduced is the fact that one is placed in a matzav of confusion between the Dalet and the Reish, the Hashem Echad and the Lo Tishtachve Le'el Acher. So Mordechai HaTzadik was the only one who recognized from the outset the concept of Hashem Echad. Everybody else in that door was really living B'toich HaHester. That's why it's called Megillas Esther, the Inyan of Hester. As we explained on Daf Yoram Ebeiz. So the Avoida of Megillas Esther is to really live the Hester Ponim, and then at the end of the story, be able to recognize that even that Hester was Hashem. And that's the Inyan of Havaya Hu Hu Elokim, the ultimate Yichud. And this is the oimik behind an incredible remez that the Chidah says to explain the first Mishnah in Megillah. The Mishnah reads as follows. Megillah nikreis biyud aleph, biyud beis, biyud gimel, biyud dalet betesvav, loy pachos v'loy yoser. These are the dates that the Megillah could be read on. Either yud aleph, sometimes it's on the 11th day of Adar, sometimes it's the 12th, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav, those 5 days, Lo Pachis Lo Yoser, no less and no more. Now, we can ask several questions on the Mishnah. Number one, why does the Mishnah have to list every one of the dates? Let the Mishnah say, Yud Aleph Ad Tezvav. Why does it have to list off all five of them? Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tezvav. Number two, once it already lists all of the dates, why would it have to then go and say, Loi Pachis V'Loi Yoser? That's totally redundant. Number three, the words Loi Pachis V'Loi Yoser seem to be inaccurate, because a more appropriate way to express the idea that you cannot read the Megillah before Yud Aleph or after Tesvav would be Loi Lefneihem V'Loi Lachreihem, not before these dates and not after. Why would it say Loi Pachis, no less and no more? Three questions on the Nusach of the first Mishnah. The answer, says the Chidah, is as follows. And from this you could see the incredible oimik that every word of Mishnayos has. Let's take the gematria of all of these dates that are listed in the Mishnah. Yud Aleph and Yud Beis together, that's 11 plus 12 is 23. If you add to 23 Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis plus Yud Gimel, you wind up with 36. Add to that 36 the next number, which is Yud Dalet, and you have 50. If you add to 50 Tesvav, then you have 65. So the gematria of all of the dates listed in the Mishnah is 65. And we all know that the gematria 65 is the same gematria as the shem of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Now, Loi Pachais V'Loi Yoser. Remember, we said it doesn't say Loi Lefneim V'Loi Lachreim. It says no less and no more. Says Rashi, Loi Pachis V'Loi Yoser, Loi Pachis M'Yud Aleph V'Loi Yoser M'Tesvav. What number is Pachis from Yud Aleph? The number that immediately precedes Yud Aleph is 10. Yoser, the one that is more than Tesvav, is 16. So the number that precedes these dates is 10, that's Pachis. The number that comes after these dates is 16. When you put 10 and 16 together, you get 26. 26 is the gematria of the Shem Havaya. Says the Chidah, the message of this Mishnah is Megillah Nikreis with the Shem Adnus. Because the Avoida of Kriyas HaMegillah is to experience the world of Hester. Because as we said, it was only Mordechai HaTzadik who knew to be Koifer B'Avodah Zarah. It was only Mordechai HaTzadik who had the Anhogah of Lo Yichr V'Lo Yishtachveh. He recognized the Shem Havaya all along. Our Avoida is to live the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And as we know, the Shem Hashem is not written in the Megillah. We don't hear about the Shem Havaya because during the Kriyas HaMegillah, we experience the Hester. Only afterwards, we can recognize that it's really Havaya Hu HaLekim, that the Hester was really Hashem all along. The true oimik of the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, says the Vilna Gaon, is really the word Dun in the middle. The Dalet Nun stands for Dun, which means Din. And the Aleph and the Yud, which surround the Oisius, Dun, is of course the Yud from the Shem Havaya, and the Aleph, he says, is from the Shem Eke. That's the Shem that Hashem is Megala to Moshe during Golos Mitzrayim. He says, Eke Asher Eke, which is the Shem that symbolizes that Hashem is with us during the Tzaris. This is why the Gaon says that during Alanisim of Purim, you're supposed to say, Vashivoyse loy gemuloy beroyshoy, in order that there should be Nun Dalet Tevis, 54 words in the Tfilas Alanisim, Keneged, the 54 times that Haman is mentioned in the Megillah, and also the 54 Oisius that there are in the names of the Aseres Bnei Haman. And all this has to do with the idea of Dun. 54 is the Oisius Nun Dalet, and the true Giloy of Megillas Esther is that even the Din is Hashem at work. And since, as we explained, the primary job of Amalek is to be Me'orer the world of Din, the world of Hester Panim, and the world of Teva, it's not a surprise that the ones that Amalek is Loichem against. How did Amalek attack Klal Yisrael the first time? It says in Parshas Zachar that we read, the end of Parshas Kiseitze, Vayizanev Bicha Kol HaNechshalim Acharecha. Who are the Nechshalim Acharecha? Chazal tell us it's those that Shepoltan Anani HaKovit, the people, the sinners, that the Anani HaKovit spit them out, and they were at the end of the Machne. In the Yalkut, in the end of Parshas Kiseitze, it says this was Shevet Dun. They were the Nechshalim that the Anani HaKovit spit out. They were the ones who at the end of the Machne and the Anani HaKovit ejected them. And the Balaturim says, in the end of Parshas Kiseitze, Kol HaNechshalim Acharecha Begematria Zeh Hoya Shiftei Shel Dun. Rashi and Yecheskel perik that Zion pasuk tesvav avodah zara she'avdu shiftei shel don b'midbar k'mo shekasev kol nechshalim acharecha. The sixth it says zeh shiftei shel don she'anan poltei shehayu kulam oivdei avodah zara. So as we explained, it was Mordechai Tzadik who was shayach to the Shem Havaya because he was koifer b'avodah zara. The ones that Amalek does have a shlita on, the ones that are brought back to the chet of Adam Arishain, the ones that are brought back to lois hishtachve le'el acher to avodah zara, is the shevet dun, kol nechshol machrecha. Because shevet dun is the ones that are most shayach to the world of din. It is for this reason that Yaakov Avinu, in his bracha to Shevet Dun, says, Yehi Dun Nachosh Alei Derech. And in the Medrash on the Pasuk, you see that he's referring primarily to Shimshon, as Rashi brings over there in Parshas Vayechi. And the Medrash explains how Shimshon came to be Misakin, the Chet of the Nachosh HaKadmoini. He was the force that needed to combat the force of the Nachash. And that's why the Medrash draws many parallels between the Nachash HaKadmoni and Shimshon. For example, it says in the Mishnah in Soita that the Nachash was Nosen Einov B'mashalei Royaloi, and it says Shimshon Holach Achar Einov, and various other parallels that are drawn in the Medrash between Shimshon and the Nachash HaKadmoni. And this is very simple in light of our discussion, because the Nachash HaKadmoni is the one who brought about the idea of Din. Until the Nachash HaKadmoni, things were all governed by the Shem Havaya, by Yehoyah Hoy Veviyah. There was no Tzimtzim, there was no Din, there was no Hester. And so the Tikkun has to come from the Shevet that is most Shayach to the Inyan of Din. And as we already explained, Amalek is really the Shoyrish of Nachash HaKadmoni, as the Maral says over here in the Archadosh. And in the Kisvei Arizal, it actually says that HaNechsholim is Oisius Nachash Mila. Because as we already explained, they have a special inyan to attack Klal Yisrael and the inyan of Mila. Vayizanev b'cha loshen Mila. They took their Milas and Zarkin klape Mala. Mila was given to Avram Avinu, who was the one who fought Avodah Zarah. He's the one who could have a connection, a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since that partnership requires going back to the Dag of Adam Rishon Kodem Machet, as opposed to being shayach to the Koyches Hara of the Nachash. So Nachash Mila is HaNechshalim. Based on all this, we can gain a deeper understanding in the Gemara in Soita on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Over there, the Gemara relates how Yaakov Avinu, when he was being buried, Esav came and tried to be Ma'akev the burial. He claimed that he was really the proper heir to the remaining plot in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah, because Yaakov already buried Leah in his chelek. And they said, no, there's a shtar, you sold the Bechoyra and you sold the other Chelik as well. And there was a whole conversation between Esav and the sons of Yaakov as to who rightfully owns that part of the Maris Machpelah. They sent Naphtali to get the shtar from Eretz Mitzrayim. As this was all happening, the Gemara says that Hushim, the son of Dun, was over there. He was hard of hearing. And he asked, what exactly is going on? And they told him, well, actually, they're waiting until Naphtali comes back. He knew how to run very fast. He went to Mitzrayim to get the shtar. And he says, what, until Naphtali comes from Arad Mitzrayim, until my uncle comes back from Eretz Mitzrayim, Yeheyavi Abba, my grandfather, Yaakov Avinu, should be mutal bebezoyin, shakal kulfa. He took a stick, machye areshe, he hit Esav on the head, natran ene, and Esav's eyes fell out, v'nafla akara de Yaakov. And they fell on Yaakov's feet, and this is what caused Esav to die. And that's why Yaakov Avinu at that point opened his eyes and smiled. And v'hainu d'chsiv, the Gemara says that the pasuk yismach tzadik, ki chaze nokum pam av yirchatz bedam harasha, goes on that ma'ira. So obviously, this is a foreshadow of the ultimate tikkun of the Olam Hashim Bahartziyah and Lishbet Asar Esav. Yaakov Avinu's sons are fighting with Esav. We already explained how Esav is Doshav Shabarasi Ba'ilami. Esav is the Tolda of Adam Rishon's Zuama. Yaakov is the pure Nishama of Adam Rishon. Rishon Kodem Achet. Esav is the ancestor of Amalek, who symbolizes the Nachash HaKadmoni, the forces of evil in this world. And we see that the foreshadow of the ultimate Tikkun takes place. Al Yudei, the son of Dun, taking a stick and hitting Esav in the head. Chushim, of course, is the same Oisius as Moshiach, because this is the first step in the ultimate Tikkun, which will be brought about Al Yudei Moshiach. And of course, all of this has to come from the Din that was created Al Yudei the Nachash. One of the rayas that the Gemara brings, that Kol HaKofer BeAvodah is called a Yehudi, is from the fact that the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim refers to the Bas Paroi as a Yehudiya. And the Gemara asks, that wasn't her name. Her name was Bisya, Ve'elo B'nei Bisya Bas Paroi. It's a Beferish of Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim as well. And says the Gemara, the reason why it calls her Yehudiya is because she was Kofra BeAvodah Zorah. D'chsiva Teirid Bas Paroi Lirchoitz Al HaYor. She went to wash in the Yor. Rashi says, Lirchoitz Litboil L'Shem Geirus. So he understands that her Tevila was a Tevila L'Shem Geirus. Asks the Turi Evan that the concept of the requirement of a Ger to be Toivel in order to become a Ger is only true after Matan Torah, because the idea of Tevila is Beba Lichtnois L'Kedushas Yisrael Lotzeis Mitoris B'nei Noyach. You need to undergo a proper Gerus. Avali says Ba'oseis Man Adayin Kulan Hoya Aleim Toris B'nei Noyach. Everybody, even Klal Yisrael at that time, had a din of Bnei Noyach. Utvila Zulama. So what would be the purpose of this Tvila? He then brings that Besoif Perakamba de Soita, Dafyud Beis, Darshinon, Vateirid Bas Parei, Lurchitz Ala Yor. Over there, Amrab Yochan Meshim Shimon Yechoi, Melamit Sheyardar Lurchitz Migiluli Aviyah. She went to wash herself from the Avarizara of her father. Vachainu Aimer Emrachas Hashem Es Tzoyas Benoist Tziyain. Rashi explains that a person who cleanses himself from sin is called Rechitza. So over there it sounds from Rashi like the actual Kfirah B'Avodah Zarah is what we're referring to as Rechitza, but not that there was a Tevila L'Shem Geirus. Now in the Hagois, Imre Baruch, from the Baruch Tam, on the Turi Evan, he disagrees with the assumption of the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan is making the assumption that the Din of Bnei Yisrael at that point was a din of Bnei Noyach, and there was no purpose in Tevila because there was no concept of Geirus. Answers the Baruch Tam. He says, "Yesh Tloimer Kiven Shahayu Oz Kvar Livnei Yaakov Mitzvahis Noisofis El Zion Mitzvahs." The Bnei Yaakov already had additional mitzvahs, more than just the Zion Mitzvahs Bnei Noyach. Mashenitztavel Aidei Amram Kimavur B'Devrei Rambam Hilchas Malachim Milvad Mitzvahs Gid Hanoshe. And he's referring to the Rambam in Perek Tes Hilchas Melachim Halacha Aleph. Over there, the Rambam starts out. He says, "Al shisha dvarim nitzdava Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon was with Tzuve, Anavarei Zorah, Birkas Hashem, Shfichas Domim, Gilai Rayas, Gezel, and Dinim. Noach was given another mitzvah, which was Avram and Achai. And those are the Sheva mitzvahs Bnei Noach. V'chein hoya hadavar, says the Rambam, b'chol ha'olam, ad Avram. Bo Avram v'nitzdava Yisrael elu b'mila. Then Avram was mitzvah in Mila. Who is Balal Shachris? Avram Davin Tfilah Shachris. The Yitzchak Hifrish Meiser Vahoysif Tfilah Acheris Lifnois Hayom. That's Mincha. The Yaakov Hoysif Giran Noshe Vizbal Arvis. Over Mitzrayim Nitztava Amram Bemitzvis Yiseiris. Ad Sheba Moshe Rabbeinu Vinishlima Toira Al Yodai. Says the Baruch Tam, you see from this Rambam that there was a process that already began before Matan Torah. Matan Torah was only the Hashlama. So he understands that to be nichlal in that category that already pre-existed Matan Torah, there was a Torah's Geirus with Tevila. So we see a very clear machloikis. According to the Turi Evan, there is no Torah's Geirus prior to Matan Torah because they all had a din of Bnei Noyach. Masha Enke in the Baruch Tam is saying in defense of Rashi, who says that this was a Tevila's Geirus, that there was a din Geirus prior to Matan Torah, and he's being medayik from the Lashon of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that way as well. The truth is that this is the Lashon of Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha, on the Pasuk of Esa Nefesh Esher Asu Becharon, referring to, Rashi says, the people, Shechnisan Tachas Kantvei Ashchina, Avraham and Sarah were Megayer people. Avraham Megayer Esa Anoshim, V'Sarah Megayer Esa Anoshim. That's the Lashon of Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Ravid in the Sefer Balei Nefesh, in the end of Shara Tvila, brings that pasuk asa nefesh she'asu b'charan as a mekar that bezdin is mitzuvah to be mekabel gerim that are boim lehiskayer b'leiv shalim shenemar v'asa nefesh she'asu b'charan, and he says that that's the reason why bezdin is mevarich al tvilas ager when the ger himself can't make a bracha, such as by a ger katan. So it's clear that the Ravid also understands that the din before Matan Torah was also a din geirus. Because if not, how does he learn out from Vesanefesh She'asu B'charan to what the din would be by a bezdin nowadays? And the Biskarov in his Sefer Al HaTorah in Parshas Boy is mechiach from Kama Mekoimis that there is a din geirus prior to Matan Torah. One of his rayas is, it says in the Parsha, referring to the Pesach, that they brought in Mitzrayim, v'chi yogur itcha ger v'asa Pesach. Now, it can't be referring to a ger toishav, because a ger toishav, you're not allowed to give him to eat from the Karban Pesach. Like Chazal Darshan, the Mechilta, from toishav v'sachar lo yoichal boy. So it has to be referring to a ger tzedek, and yet it refers to this ger tzedek in the Parsha, which the Ramban in Baal Oischa, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Dalet, says is referring to Pesach Mitzrayim. Now, it's a well-known fact that in the Sefer Prashas Drachim, which is written by the Mishnah Lamelech, he's marach in this shaila in his first piece, whether the Avos had a din of Ben Noach L'chol Davar, or if Le'enyan, certain things, they had a din of Yisrael. He's toila this on a machloikas Rishonim that's brought in the Ramban in the end of Parshas Emor. Over there, in the end of Parshas Emor, the Torah is talking about the case of the Mekalel, and the Torah refers to him, Vayetze ben ha'isha ha'yisraelis, v'hu ben ish mitzri. And the Torah is koinim. On that pasuk says, Melamed shenis gayer. So the Chachmei HaTzarfatim explain why did he have to do a gerus. After all, his mother was a isha yisraelis, so the son of an isha yisraelis doesn't need a gerus. They explain, because since he was born from a bia of a ish mitzri to an ish yisraelis prior to Matan Torah, the din before Matan Torah is that you go after the zohar, like the Gemara says in Yevamos, daf ayin ches mit beis. And the Ramban argues on this, and he says that as soon as Avram Avinu came into bris, hayu Yisrael uvagoyim lo yischashvu, bnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov had a din of Yisrael. And he says that the Ben Oisha Yisraelis didn't need a Geiris Mamish, and the Kavon of Teres Koinim is that they went after his mother, and he was Nidbak B'Yisrael, Loi Rotza L'Leches Acharei Aviv Liyos Mitzri. And he says also that the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, refers to Esav, that he was a Yisrael Mumer. And therefore the Gemara says, you cannot prove from his Yerusha the din of Yerusha of Ben Noach. So you see that before Matan Torah, there was a shame Yisrael. Similarly, the Ran in the Chedushi Aran in Sanhedrin Nun Chesimid Beis explains what the Gemara says over there, that a goy that hits a Yisrael is chayev misa, and that's learned after the pasuk in Shmois, vayifen koy v'choy v'yarkein ish v'yachas ha-mitzri. Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri that was hitting a Jew. Says the Ran that it's mashma, it's only because the goy was hitting a Jew. Because if a guy who hits another guy is also chayiv misa, that should be included in the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. So you see that there's at least a halachic difference between a guy and a Jew, even before Matan Torah. However, the Prashas Drachim himself brings down the Medrash, Shmois Rabbah, Parsha Aleph, Simen Chav Ches, that seems to argue on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and explains that the reason why Moshe killed a Mitzri was not because a person who's a guy that hits a Yisrael is chayiv misa. Rather, since he was mevakish lahar goy, he was trying to kill the Yisrael. For that, he was chayiv misa, because it says umaki adam yumos. And he says adarabba. He brings from the Marash Yofa that's medayik from the Medrash that without the fact that he was planning on killing him, he would not have been chayiv misa just based on the fact that he hit him. So from the Medrash, you see that they did have a din of bnei noyach. And therefore, he says that it comes out that not only is it a machlokes Rishonim, it's machlokes between the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Medrash in Shmois Rabbah. So it is somewhat surprising that the Turi Evan would taina on Rashi that there could not have been Geirus, since there's plenty of Mekoiris, and especially the Gemara in Sanhedrin itself, that's Mavur, that they did have a din of a Yisrael prior to Matan Torah. Now, assuming that this was indeed a geirus, like Rashi learns, there's a kasha that the Maariv Tzchias over here asks. And that is, that the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, says, Ger Tzorich Shloisha. He needs a bezdin of Shloisha to witness his tevila. Otherwise, his geirus is not a geirus. So since it's clear that Bas Parei was not tevelis in front of three dayanim, how was it a valid geirus? So in the Sefer Evan Yaakov, he answers, Al-Pi, what's Mavur, in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Simen Reish Samaches Sif Gimel,
that there are really two opinions as to whether if the tevila was done not b'fnei shloisha but b'fnei shnayim, if it's a valid geiris or not. According to the Rif and the Rambam, even b'diyeved, if it was done b'fnei shnayim, then it's no good. But the Mechaber brings down the opinion, which is the opinion of Tosfos, that b'diyeved, it would be okay if it was b'fnei shnayim. And the Shach over there, in Sif Katan Yud, says that when the Mechaber says in this opinion that b'fnei shnayim is good, he says, lav dafka shnayim, elo b'fnei echad. And the only reason why it says shnayim is because in order to be made later and prove that the geiris took place, you would need shnayim. But technically speaking, the tevila would be okay even if it was not b'fnei shnayim. Alternatively, we could say that even if they had a din of Yisrael prior to Matan Torah, but the din of requiring a bezin of shloisha for geiris could be was only nischadish by Matan Torah. Because that's a pasuk we learn from, that it says by a ger, mishpat echad yilachem, and ein mishpat pachis megimel. So we could say that even if they had a din of a Yisrael, but this halacha that you need shloisha, that it has a din of a mishpat, when you do geiris, was only nischadish by Matan Torah. So prior to Matan Torah, the geiris was valid, even if it was not done in front of shloisha. In the Gemara, it's mevur that Esther was really married to Mordechai. The Gemara darshins al tikri labas el labayis. Now, based on this fact, Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis and Iksubas Daf Gimel Amud Beis ask a kasha on the Gemara. The Gemara over there in Sanhedrin, the end of Perek Ben Soru Umoru, after delineating the three things that a person is mechuyev to give their life up and not be over Yehorig Val Yaver, namely Avodah Zarah, Gilui Reis, and Shfichas Damim, the Gemara then says that if it's an Avera that's being done b'farhesya, then even if it's not one of the Shalosh Chamuras, you're mechuyev to give your life up for it, because there's a din called Kiddush Hashem, Nikdashti B'Sarich B'nei Yisrael. And because of this, the Gemara says, V'ha Esther parhesya avoy. How can you say that a person's mechuyev to give up their life for something that's b'farhesya? If that's true, why didn't Esther give her life up? Why wasn't she moiser nefesh not to be nivel by Achashverosh? And the Gemara gives two terutzim. Abaye answers that Esther karka oilam hoisa. She wasn't doing any maisa. It was being done to her. And Rava says, Hanas atzman shayni. If the guy is not trying to get the Jew to do an avera, rather he's doing it for his own personal hanah, then there's no inyan of chil Hashem, and he does not have to give his life up for it. Asks Tosfos, why was the Gemara only bothered by the idea of Esther being b'farhesya? What about the issue of Gilui Arayis? Even if it wasn't b'farhesya, we just said that you're mechuyev to give up your life so as not to be megala arayis. And we learned in our Gemara that Esther was actually married to Mordechai, so she was an eshes ish. And to take the question a step further, how would we even answer the question from Gilui Arayis? Bishlam, according to Abaye, you could say that just like the Svara of Esther Karka Olam takes care of the problem of Chil Hashem, so too it could take care of the problem of Gilui Arayis. But if the Teretz is like Rava says, Hanas Atzman Shaini, that's a Svara Legabe, the din of Chil Hashem, that since he's doing it for his own personal benefit, he's not doing it to get you to do the Aver, there's no issue of Chil Hashem, but certainly Gilui Arayis there is. So Tosfos offers two terutzim. Number one, they say b'shem the Rabbeinu Tam, the ein chayavin misa al be'ilas oved kechavim. The bia of an oved kechavim is not even considered gilui arayis that you would have to give your life up for. Mishum derachmana afkere lezared oved kechavim, kiraminu beperek noisen al anusa, dechsiv vizir mesusim zir masam. It's like a behema. The second teretz that Tosfos offers, the Rivam, or argues in the Rabbeinu Tam, and he says that it does have a din of gilui arayis. However, says the Rivam, that the Gemara understood that the teretz of Karka Olam could be given for the kasha of Gilui Arayis. It's just that the Gemara thought that legabe the din of Chil Hashem, Karka Olam doesn't make a difference. Because legabe Gilui Arayis, since the whole din that a person's mechuyev to give up their life so as not to be Megal Arayis, is learnt out from a drasha from the pasuk of Reitzeach. Since it says ki kasha yakum ish al re'eru tzachei nefesh kena davra zeh by nara merasa, so we learn that just like legabe ritzicha, there's a din that you have to give up your life and not to commit murder, so too legabe gilui arayis. And says Tosfos that if a person is involved in passive ritzicha, let's say somebody goes over to a person and says, if you do not allow me to throw you on top of this baby and kill it, I am going to kill you. Says Tosfos that you're not mechuyev to be moiser nafshoy. because the whole reason why you have to give up your life so as not to commit a murder is because there's a svara, my chazis, the dama di dach sumak tfei, who says your blood is redder, dilma di dama di chavrei sumak tfei. Maybe the other person's blood is redder than yours, which means you cannot go and do an act of murder in order to save your own life, because who says that your life is more precious than the other person's life? However, if you're not going to be doing an act of murder, this person is just going to throw you on the tinaik, then you have the svar the other way. Who says that the tinaik's blood is redder than yours? Now, since legabe murder, we know now that if a person is involved in a passive murder, he's not doing an act of murder, he does not have to give up his life. So too, there's a svar of karka oilam legabe gili arayas, which is learnt from murder. So that was pashut to the Gemara, that legabe the din of gili arayas, we have a svar of karka oilam. Because karka oilam means that she was passive. It's just that legabe, the din of Chil Hashem, which is not learnt out from murder, it's a special din of Ikdashti B'Seich B'nei Yisrael, the Gemara thought that you cannot say the Svar of Karka Olam. And indeed, Rava doesn't hold that you say the Svar of Karka Olam. He gives a different reason than Hanas Atzman Shaini. So those are the two terutzim given in Tosfos, in Sanhedrin, and in Ksuas to explain why the Gemara was bothered only by the fact that Esther was Farhesia, even though in our Gemara it's Mavur that Esther was also Giloy Arayas. However, the Balamar over there in Sanhedrin explains that the reason why the Gemara asked that Esther was Farhesia and the Gemara didn't use the fact that she was being over the Isser of Giloy Arayas is because it doesn't say Mefurish in the Psukim that she was married to Mordechai. It's a drasha that our Gemara makes. And perhaps the Gemara doesn't agree in Sanhedrin to this drasha. And the Gemara has the right to ask the question that would be, even without the drasha of our Gemara, Esther v'Farhesia avoy. And this is the way the Namuki Yosef answers the question as well. Another issue that's raised based on the fact that our Gemara says that Esther was actually married to Mordechai is the question that Tosfos asks over here on Amud Beis. The Gemara says that after Esther would be with Achashverosh, she would be a medes mecheke shel Achashverosh, v'tayveles v'yosheves becheke shel Mordechai. And the pashut pshat in that is that after she would be nevelis to Achashverosh, she would go and be together with Mordechai as well. The reason why she wasn't nesar on Mordechai, if an eishes ish is mizana, she becomes asur to her husband. So Tosfos, the Tosfos that we mentioned earlier in Sanhedrin, gives two explanations. According to the way the Meiri and the Tos Yeshanim and Yuma understand Divrei HaTosfos, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, who said that the bia of a goy is like the bia of a behema, she would not become usher to her husband. Just like if Isha is mezana with the behema, tachas baila, she doesn't become usher to her husband, so too, if she is mezana with the goy, she would not become usher to her husband. And this is very not pashut, because even though the bia of a behema would not ask it to her husband, the way that most mefarshim explained, I'll be the marik, who holds that the whole din, that an isha becomes ask it to her husband, is because she was moil, she was moirid in her husband. That merida of her husband is true whether she's mizana with a Jew or with a guy. So the other teretz that Tosfos gives is based on the Gemara later, on the Tezvav Med Aleph, that kasher avarati avarati, Esther said to Mordechai that now, with the new plan, that she was going to go out of her own accord to Achashverosh, she's going to become usher to Mordechai, because until now it was ba'inus. An isha, who's an eishes ish, who's nensa, does not become usher to her husband unless she's an eishes kayin. Now that I'm going to go out of my own accord, I'm going to become usher because it is beratzen. So I'll call upon him. That's why she would not become usher to Mordechai. The only question that Tosfos asks over here is that how could she immediately, after being with Achashverosh, be nevelis to Mordechai? There's a din called Havchana. Havchana means that you're never allowed to get married in a way that it's not going to be clear whose child the child that is born is. For example, if an isha is married to a man, let's call him Reuven, and then he dies, she's not allowed to get married to Shimon, the next man, for another 3 months. Because if she doesn't wait 3 months, then a child may be born, let's say, 7 months later, and it will be a suffix if the baby is a ben zayin la'achron or a ben tes la'rishain. If this is a full-term baby, and after 7 months of being married to Shimon, she's really giving birth to Reuven's son. Or it could be a 7-month baby, and it's really the son of Shimon. So because of that, Chazal made a halacha that you have to wait 3 months. And those are the 3 months of Havchana. We're mavchin between the two men. We know now whose baby it is. And the question over here is, how could, after being Niv'elas, Tachashverish, does she have the right? Shari b'chol yoyim, hoya oisei rasha motzu yetzla, says Tosfos. So Tosfos's teretz is that she was mishameshes b'moich, meaning she was mishameshes in a way that she could not become pregnant. Now the truth is that the question of Tosfos would seem to be toloi on a machloikis tanoim, brought down in a braisa in Yevamos daf lamed hei amud aleph. The braisa says, "Hagiyoris v'hashivuya v'hashivcha sheniftu v'shenisgayru v'shenishtacharu." So either a giyoris, or a woman that was captured, or a shivcha, the giyoris was nisgayra, or the shvuya was freed, and the shivcha was nishtachra. Tzrichos lahamtin gimel chadashin deverb Yehuda. So before they could marry a Jew, they need to wait 3 months because of the principle of havchana. Rabbi Yosi matir le'yareis v'linasei miyad. The Gemara explains my time with Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi explains isha mezana mishameshes b'moich k'dei shloitis aber. The rule is that an isha is mezana will be mishameshes b'moich k'dei shloitis aber, know that she shouldn't become pregnant. And at the end of the sugya, Abaya modifies the statement. He says isha mezana mishapeches k'dei shloitis aber. She turns herself over in a way that will ensure that she doesn't become pregnant. V'idach, the Gemara says, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Cheshin and Shemelon is hapcha yafa yafa. So there's machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi whether there's a din havchana in such a case or not. In Shulchan Aruch, in Eben Ezer, Simen Yud Gimel, Siv Vav, Mechaber Paskins, V'chein HaMezana, Eina Tzricha Lahamtin, Mepnei Shem HaPechas Atzma B'shas Tashmish, Kedei Shloitis Aber, V'chein Anusa, Umefuta, Eina Tzrichois Lahamtin. V'adin L'shvuya, so the Mechaber's psak is like Rabbi Yosi. The Rama brings down v'yeshomim to call elu tzrich in lahamtin imhem gedolus v'ruuyus liyisaber. So Tosfos theoretically shouldn't have a question if he paskin like Rabbi Yosi. Must be that Tosfos paskins like Rabbi Meir, and he says that even so Esther was mishameshes b'moich. Now we have to ask a step further. If you take a look over there in the Rama, he says isha shenensa tachas baila, an isha that somebody was ma'aneser im loy nivala lebaila tchila tzricha lahamtin. If she was not nivelas to her husband before, which the Nesekelim explained means that for the past 3 months she was not nivelas to her husband, then she has to wait. The reason is because if she was nivelas to her husband within the past 3 months, it doesn't really help much for her to be mamtin, because no matter what happens, it's going to be a suffix if it's her husband's child or if it's the ma'anis's child. But if she was not nivelas to her husband, then you don't have that suffix, and therefore there's a reason to wait so that we could verify whose child it is. Asks the Pischei Tshuva that this statement, which the Rama is bringing from the Ur Zeruah, is mufrach from the Tosfos in our sugya. Because Tosfos, he says in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, says that how is Esther allowed to be Yosheves B'cheikis Shel Mordechai? She should have to wait 3 months. The question is that prior to her being Nivelis to Achashverosh, she was Nivelis to Mordechai. And because of this, the Pischei Tshuva wants to say that the Tosfos doesn't mean because of the real din havchana. Rather, Tosfos is asking, Eich lechoshash Mordechai shalayit mazaroi. How was it that Mordechai didn't have a problem being boil Esther? He should be worried about the fact that his zero will become nitma, will become besufik. Kivin the bechol yoyim hoysa mitsuya im Achashverosh. So the real question is not how was it that it was mutter for Esther to be nevelis to Mordechai within 3 months. That anyway is not a problem, because like we said, she was nevelis to Mordechai prior to the bia with Achashverosh. The question is rather, how was it that Mordechai in good conscience could be boil her, knowing that it's not going to be clear if his child is actually his child or not? So it's not based on a halachic inyan. So once you say that, then you no longer have to ask the question from Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosi, because we're not talking about the real din havchana. We're just talking about what Mordechai would or would not have wanted to do. However, it would seem that it's not mukhrach to answer like the Pischei Tshuva is answering to his question. His question was that lefi the Ur Zeruah, any isha that was just recently or within the past 3 months nivelas to her husband, and then she was nensa, afterwards there's no din of havchana. And he's asking that in the case of Esther and Mordechai, she was nevelis to him. However, we could say very simply, based on what's before in the Psukim, each one of the Noshim that was taken to the Beis HaShveirish had to spend Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Hamor, V'Shisha Chadoshim B'Besamim, V'Samruki HaNoshim, V'Buzeh HaNara Bo El HaMelech. So it was a full year that they had to spend getting ready to meet Achashverosh. So it's not as if Mordechai was boiled her within the 3 months before she was nevelis to Achashverosh. And in such a case, Dar Zeruah doesn't say his din. Umemelo, we could say that Tosis is asking Akasha about a real Havchana issue. Now this is all based on the assumption that Tosis is making that after she was nevelis to Achashverosh, she would then go and be nevelis to Mordechai. And this is because, like we said, the Gemara says in Amud Beis, "Shai say medes mecheiko shel Achashverosh v'teiveles v'yosheves becheiko shel Mordechai." However, the Maral and the Or Chodesh is medayik the lashon of the Gemara v'teiveles v'yosheves becheiko shel Mordechai that she actually was not nivelas to Mordechai; she was just yosheves becheiko. And he says it would be a tremendous danger for Mordechai to actually be boil her while she was already the queen. And he says that Yichud wasn't Usr since she was only an Anusa. But as far as Tosis Kasha of Havchana, he says there's no Kasha because she really wasn't Niv'eles to Mordechai. The Gemara tells us, according to one pshat, that the reason why Esther was called Esther was because Shehoisa Masteres Dvoreha. Shenemar Ein Esther Magedes Es Amoves Molarta. Esther hid from Achashverosh her true identity. As we know, she was listening to Mordechai's Tzivui. The question is asked, why was it that Mordechai was so adamant that she not reveal her true identity, her Esama Vesmelarta, where she came from, her nation, and where she was born from? So there are a number of answers given in the Mefarshim. In the Targum on Megillas Esther, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud, he says, the Chasha Belibe Mordechai. Mordechai thought to himself, Vashti da Avidas Yikara Lenafsha, V'leitzavis the Yesi lemechme shufra lemalka ulshalitaya. Vashti, who was just preserving her own covet, she did not want to come and show her beauty to the king and to the rulers. Don yasa dinin bishin. Achashverosh was dan her with harsh dinin. V'katel yasa, and he killed her. V'lama lechavias Esther amadusuldata. Dilma Rogez Allah Malka, perhaps Achashverosh will become angry on Esther as well, Vikatilla, and he'll kill her, Umishetze Amadihimine. He was choshish that if you see that the Melech could become so angry at Vashti and kill her on such a thing, so he could possibly kill Esther, and if he knew the nation of Esther, he may quite possibly kill that nation at the same time. So it was in order to prevent the sakana for the Jewish people. And this is one of the Hezberim quoted in the Yalkut Shemoni as well. Rashi, Megillas Esther, says, Kedei sheyoimru shehimi mishpacha bzuya vishalchuha. Mordechai wanted that he should not remain married to Esther, and perhaps if he doesn't know where she came from, he'll think she's from a mishpacha bzuya, a non-prestigious family, and he'll send her away. Sheem yedu shehimi mishpacha shola melech hayimachzikim ba. If they would know that she comes from the royal dynasty of Shalom Melech, then they'll for sure keep her. Interestingly enough, the Ibn Ezra, after bringing down Rashi's Pshat, he brings down Acherim, others that say the exact opposite from Rashi's Pshat. And that is that he wanted that Achashverosh should marry Esther because he knew Beruach HaKodesh that the Yeshua would come through Esther, and if she would be Megala that she came from the Jewish people, then Achashverosh wouldn't look at her so favorably. He would say that these are a people that were Huglu, they were exiled from their land. So it's not a prestigious thing for the king to marry such a woman. He then, the Ibn Ezra says his own pshat, that Mordechai did this in order that it should be easier for Esther to keep the Torah, to refrain from eating the velus, to keep Shabbos. Because if Achashverosh would know that she was Jewish, then it could be that he would force her to be over on Dinim in the Torah. And since it was concealed from him, then she was able to arrange it much more easily. Another reason quoted by the Yalkut Shemoni is that Mordechai himself was looking to run away from Gedula. And if Esther would say where she came from, and then it would become Nizgala that she grew up in Mordechai's house, then Mordechai would be given a certain stature, and he was not interested in that. The Marsha over here says another Hezber. He says that we learn in our Gemara that kol echad ve'echad nizmisaloi ke'umasai. Part of the Hezber in Vatihi Esther Noises Chain is that she found favor by everybody because everybody identified with her. Everybody thought that she was from that person's nation. And as a result, he says, nobody really was niskaniba. Nobody was jealous of Esther because they all identified with her. If it would be nizgala that she came from Am Yisrael, then people would be jealous. The Balakeda says the following Hezber. He says that we mentioned earlier that one Hezber in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, why it wasn't a problem of Chilul Hashem for Esther to be Niv'eles to Achashverosh was because Hanas Atzman Shaini. If the guy is not doing it in order to cause the Jew to do an Aveira, he's only doing it for his own personal Hanah, then there's no din of Yehareg Val Yavar. So Kozman, that he was not aware that she was a Jew, he was only doing it L'Hanas Atzmai. But if he would find out that she was from Am Yisrael, then it's quite possible that he would want her to be over on the mitzvahs, and therefore it would then turn into a din of Chil Hashem, and she would be mechuyev to give up her life.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.